Okay, great. Well, how are you doing this morning, guys? I hope you're all well and enjoying the service so far. We've got off to a brilliant start, and I'm just reminded of, excuse me, the wonderful messages that we've been hearing over the last few weeks, culminating in Fuma's message last week, taking us into this passage of chapter 13 of Philippians, and I'm going to take you a little further today into that. And before we get into that, excuse me, I want to ask you a question this morning. I want to ask you a question this morning. What was your favorite pastime as a teenager? What was your favorite pastime as a teenager? How did you spend your time? What were the things that you did with your time? What were the things that took up most of your interests? Excuse me. Now, of course, we all had to contend with school as teenagers, and that was always a bit of a challenge. But apart from school, we all had our hobbies and stuff. I think one of my favorite ones was I joined the Boys Brigade in East Dulwich, and I also joined the Army Cadets. And being a sort of macho boy, I loved the activities that we carried on with in the Army Cadets and in the Boys Brigade. Particularly in the Boys Brigade, I really enjoy athletics. And so we used to go and train each week during the course of the week, and we do the press ups and we do the runs and we do the squats and we do the stretches and we do all the things that you need to do in order to be a good athlete. But then what we would do is we would go out onto the field and compete. And I so much loved competing. Particularly for me, my strengths were the 100 meters, the 200 meters, the relay race. I liked the 800 meters, and I did like to punish people on the 1500 meter track as well, 4 laps of the track, and just watch them perish as I stretched my long legs out and use my pace. I remember myself and my younger brother Derek used to go to meetings quite often, and on our best day, I came back with 6 medals, and my brother Derek came back with 4. But I recall there was one opponent that I had called Elgin. Whenever he turned up to the competition, I just couldn't beat him at 100 meters. He would clean up and I would only end up with the silver. But whenever Elgin wasn't around, I was your guy. I would get the gold for the 100 meters and generally the 200 meters as well. So I really loved my teenage years competing. Athletics was my passion. I was more into athletics than I was into football. Now, why am I telling you this? This reminds me of another Bible character who I believe was a sporting man and who I believe loved to play sport. And that was the Apostle Paul. Now, why do you say that? Why would you say that the Apostle Paul loved sport? I'm going to show you why. Paul was a man that quoted scripture. In his scriptures, he quoted very, very often sporting analogies. So I'm using the theme for today, the race of life. And we're speaking about what Paul was speaking about in this passage in 1 Corinthians, sorry, Philippians 13. And we're going to have that read to us in just a moment. So Paul spoke often about the ancient games. There was a lot that he had to say, particularly about wrestling, boxing, and running. You might be surprised to find these themes in the Bible, but they were definitely there. You know, the games that they started in Corinth back in those ancient times have led us to what we call the Olympics today, and many of the world meetings that we have now for wrestling, for boxing, for running. But Paul used these metaphors to describe the Christian faith. And what he was really saying is that we are like wrestlers in a wrestling match. We are like boxers boxing in a ring, and we are like runners on the track. And we'll have a look at some of those scriptures that Paul mentions it. So in Ephesians 6:12, Paul says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Now, I don't know if you've ever realized that, but your Christian walk is in fact a wrestle. You're in a fight for your life, and you need to wrestle and you need to grapple with certain things in the Christian life. You need to lay hold of certain things, and you need to try and prevent yourself from being pinned down by the cares and challenges of this world, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. So it's not so much a physical war, but it is definitely a spiritual war. The second metaphor that Paul uses is that we are in a battle, that we are fighting. He says that we should fight the good fight of faith. He says that to young Timothy, the young pastor. He says in Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So I hope you realize that you're in a fight. You're in a fight for your life. The Christian life is a battle, and we are like troops out there on the battleground, and we have to fight. We have to fight, although we may have to die, one of the songwriters said. But we know that if we do die in the battle, as long as we die under favorable circumstances, fighting for our Lord, we will be resurrected into eternal life. And so there's a second metaphor that Paul is using. And then a third metaphor that he says that I run that I may obtain the prize, 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 26. I run that I may obtain the prize. Listen to the way he puts it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? I think in those days they were only giving out gold medals, no silver, no bronze. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it, that you may obtain the gold medal, that you may obtain the first position. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. So there's a way that we should run. There's a way that we should live while we're running this life. We can't just live any old how that we want to. There are rules and regulations. There are disciplines that we must maintain if we are going to run the race of life and if we are going to win the race of life. He goes on to say, now they do it that they may obtain a perishable crown. The wreath, the laurel that they gave them at the end of the race would rot away. It was perishable. It wouldn't last eternally. They run that they may obtain a perishable crown, but we run for an imperishable crown. Our crown will not perish. Our crown will be eternal. Our crown will be glorious. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Then he switches the analogy to boxing. He says, thus, I fight not as one who beats the air. I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not just sparring outside the rear of the ring. I'm in the ring and I'm fighting for my life. And I'm doing everything I can to win the goal, to win the prize of life. Now, with that said, let's just have a real good think about these analogies. We'll close with this one. And there's the famous Jamaican runner there, Usain Bolt. And all three of these, as they're going around the bend, as they get towards the ribbon, they're going to press their chests against the line, against the ribbon, the finishing ribbon, because they want to be sure that they're the first one past. So they're going to press towards that goal, press towards that finishing line. And Paul says in Philippians 3:14, I press towards the goal to win the prize. I press towards the goal to win the prize. Now, with that said, I think we're ready to look at the passage of scripture. And as we're looking at this passage of scripture, now I want you to look for the metaphors of the sporting analogy that is so rich, inclusive in this passage.
Thank you, Pastor. I really love the sporting analogy, and it's such a fantastic way to bring our fight in life, together. Like thinking about my teenage years, boxing, running, basketball, and time in the recording studio was always my thing. I probably should have spent a bit more time in the book, as my mum would always tell me, or my grandma would always tell me. But look, I'm honoured to be a host today and to read a scripture on the last day of the first month of the year and our last day as we fast as a community in Micah. So Philippians 3:12 to 16, pressing towards the goal. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let all those who are spiritually mature agree on these things. if you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have already made.
Thank you so much for that, Jason. Beautiful. This passage is just full of beautiful, beautiful language. So let's have a look at what he was saying. Paul's confession, he makes a confession first to the saints. Now you can imagine Paul was this stalwart of a Christian. You know, when we read about the shipwrecks, when we read about the beatings, when we read about the fact that he survived in the deep, in the sea, nights in the sea, when we read about the challenges that Paul went through, it would be easy to think that if anyone was to attain the goal, if anyone was to win the race, if anyone was to have achieved and arrived, it would be Paul. But we would be mistaken. Paul makes here a confession. He says, these three things I need to tell you. Number one, I have not yet arrived. I have not yet reached perfection. But I do press on to possess that perfection. I do press on towards that goal and towards that mark. And this is a reminder to us that no matter how much we think we've done, and no matter who we think we are, and no matter how much we think we've achieved, Paul here is saying that we will not achieve, we will not attain to perfection in this life. And we will not attain to perfection on our own. In our struggle, in our race, in our fight, in our walk with Jesus, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us and to aid us. And this just reminds me that we are full of flaws and full of faults. Paul, when he gave his resume of his personal achievements, they were many. But what he was saying when he gave those personal achievements, he was saying, hey, I've still not attained. Despite the fact that I've achieved all of this lot, I've still not attained. And so let us remember, despite what you've achieved so far, your qualifications, your education, your status, your nationality, your financial position, you've not arrived. You've not reached. You've not reached perfection. And concerning our faith, despite the fact that we've been a Christian for 30 odd years, that we read the Bible every morning, that we can pray for an hour straight, that we're a pastor, a leader, or an elder in the church, that people come to us for, you know, counsel or whatever, let us never lose hold of the fact that we have not arrived. It's something that we have to continually strive for every single day, and we need to do it in the strength of Jesus and not in our own strength, not in our own abilities. Paul says, you know, despite what I achieved in the past, I now compare everything that I achieved as nothing compared to receiving Christ. I can really relate to Paul. As I said earlier, when I was younger, I don't know why I came out like this, but I sort of came out of my mother's womb, a very competitive, a very sort of optimistic person, somebody who's always thriving to do better. Sometimes I think maybe some of my thinking was a little arrogant because I didn't used to consider people as my competition. Even when I was doing athletics, I didn't consider people as my competition. I was constantly competing with myself. I was constantly competing with the clock. I was constantly trying to do better, trying to strive for perfection, really. And that's what I now realize I was doing. I was always trying to strive for perfection. I don't know what it was, whether it was growing up in the Young, Gifted and Black era, where you're looking at Muhammad Ali and you're looking at all of these stars, these black stars, and they're being told that you're young, gifted and black, and you can get it if you really want it. I think growing up in the 60s, 70s and 80s had that sort of an impact on me. And so I became quite a competitive person. And I did achieve a lot. In my office, I have a bookshelf with lots of different trophies and awards from different spheres. I've lost all my athletics ones from when I was younger, but I have trophies in there for singing with my brothers, winning many awards for singing, for best songwriters, for best gospel group, for those sorts of things on numerous occasions. I have sales awards for, you know, top salesman of the month, for breaking a national sales record in my first month ever trading in the business, for doing that again in my third month, for being the top team manager, for being the top branch manager, for being the top regional manager. I have awards from several companies for sales and for marketing and for things I've done in my profession. But like Paul, I actually consider all those things as done, as nothing, in comparison to knowing Christ. And I'm reminded of that great Graham Kendrick song, Knowing You, Jesus. Knowing You, Jesus. That's all I ever want to do, to know you intimately and to know you personally. And for those of us who have achieved different things in life, when we come to Christ, we realize that all that we achieve means nothing compared to knowing Christ. And so I've gone through many years of not even wanting to talk about my achievements, not even wanting to put myself out in the public space, not even wanting to be recognized publicly or to receive accolades, because I began to realize that, you know what, all of this is nothing compared to Christ. The ultimate goal of life is to know him. Oh, to know him. Oh, to know him. Oh, to know him, Paul says. To know him personally and to know him intimately. So Paul says now, like me and like many of you today, I now have a new goal in life. And I just feel so happy about that. I now have a new goal in life. My new goal in life now is to follow Jesus Christ. He's the only one that I've found to be absolutely worthy of everything. Oh, the words of these songs are flooding back. My goal in life is to obtain Christ-likeness. That is my ultimate achievement. My ultimate achievement is to obtain Christlessness, Christ-likeness, and to achieve eternal life. And this is why I press. This is why I force. This is why I exert myself. This is why I break into a sweat, because I'm pressing towards the mark, which is to be found in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing to obtain that for which Christ Jesus attained me. The language in this is beautiful. It's almost as if Paul sees himself in a tag race. Jesus takes the baton and he chases Paul and he touches Paul and he says, add. You remember you used to play that game at school? Add, or he, you know, you chase someone and you touch them and then you give the baton to them. And in the 400 meter race, that's exactly what we did. We chased down the track towards somebody, just like Christ chasing down the track towards Paul. And then when he saw Paul in his hand, Paul turned around and thought, oh, it's Jesus coming. He puts his hand out, he takes the baton, and then he runs. And he said, Paul says, Christ has taken hold of me. Christ has taken hold of me for this reason. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus has possessed me. And I want to ask you the question, are you possessed today? Are you possessed with Jesus today? We all need to be possessed with Jesus. We all need to have the Spirit of the Holy Spirit of God moving and working inside of us and motivating us and leading us and directing us. Paul says, I had many past achievements. You know, my heritage was top notch. You know, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrew. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Our tribe, as Aaron told us so eloquently, our tribe has never gone in and mixed with any other tribe. We are Puritans. We are Hebrews of Hebrews. I am a Jew. I was educated, in the best schools of learning. I became a Pharisee in my career. I achieved and attained the very top. I had the letters after my name. That was my status. I now count all of that as foolishness in comparison to knowing Christ. Now, your qualifications will come in handy when you go down to get your job. Your qualifications will come in handy when you go for a promotion. Don't throw them away. You need them. But in comparison to knowing Christ, these things pale into insignificance. So this is what Paul says. He says, this is what I do now. He says, I press, I exert myself, I urge myself, I edge myself forward to possess the perfection for which Christ first took hold of me. See, Christ has a plan for us. He wants us all to obtain perfection. He wants us all to reach that goal, that perfected place in him. So Jesus Christ has an intention for me. He desires that I run the race. He desires that I finish the course. And he desires that I win the prize. Jesus has a plan for me. And if I walk with Jesus's plan, I will not go amiss. Beautiful. Beautiful. Let's look at the next slide. Paul speaks about his shortcomings, and if you like, let me call them his longcomings, his shortcomings and his longcomings. His longcomings then, or his achievements, or his high attainment, was that list of things that we looked at just a minute ago. These were the highlights of Paul's life. He had a great heritage, he had a great nationality, he had a great education, he had a great career, he had a great status, but he considered all those things as nothing in comparison to knowing Christ. By far, that was the biggest trophy of all, knowing Christ. There was another one that he's chasing after, which we'll share in a minute. But then he says, look, I've also had failures. I've also had challenges in my life. And these things have hindered me, you know, and all of us have failures. We all have failures. We all have a history. So we can think now about our past failures, our pre-Christ failures, and we can think about our post-Christ failures, and we can think about our current failures. None of us are perfect. We've all done wrong. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have character flaws and personality flaws, including the pastor and the bishop and the apostle. We're all flawed. And we all need to constantly go back to Jesus and examine ourselves and look in the mirror, which is the word of God, every day, so that we can fix ourselves up. But we mustn't be over concerned, and we mustn't become paranoid about our inadequacies and our deficiencies. We must be careful not to beat ourselves up too much, and not to get to the point where we're now feeling that because of the mistakes I made, and because of the flaws I've got, and because of the things that I do wrong, I'm not worthy. Now that would be going over the top. We need to accept that as long as we live in this life, we're going to have faults and we're going to have failings. Paul put it that way, put it this way. He said, look, I recognize that the things I want to do are the things that I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do are the things that I find myself doing. And what Paul was trying to say to us there is that he's not arrived at perfection. He realizes that he has faults and failings, and you have faults and failings, and I have faults and failings, but we can't afford for those faults and failings to keep tripping us up and to keep hindering us. We must keep pressing towards the goal. We must keep pressing towards the prize. We must not let ourselves become a hindrance. I don't know if you've noticed, when you watch athletics, every so often you find somebody stumble, or they trip, or they kick over a hurdle. And sometimes you've seen runners running, and there's a very famous one on YouTube. I can't remember the chap's name, a black guy. I can't remember what nation he was running for, but he was running and he got cramp in his leg, and he was one of the favorites to win the race. And he fell on the floor in cramp and in agony, and he couldn't move. He rolled around for a while, but then he was so determined to get that prize that he got up and he started to limp towards the finishing line. And the stewards came over to him to try and stop him. There was concern that he was going to hurt himself more and injure himself more. And he said, no, get off me. Leave me alone. I've got to finish this course. I'm going to finish this race. And he carried on limping. And then a man ran from the stands and ran towards him. And the stewards tried to stop that man. And the man pushed them stewards out of the way. And he was saying to them, I'm his father. Let me help him. I'm his father. And the father knew exactly. It was a beautiful picture of Jesus. The father knew exactly how to help the son. And that man was like taking the place of Christ. That he ran up to his son, the runner, he put his arms around his shoulders, and he began to hop and limp with his son. And the crowd began to roar, and the crowd began to stand, and the applause in the state. The race had finished, the medals had been won, but this runner refused to give up, because he realized the race is not for the swift, the battle is not given to the strong, but the prize is given to he that endures to the end. The runner knew that even if he was to limp and halt himself to the finishing line, as long as he finished his course in his mind, he was a winner. And so he limped past the finishing line to a raving applause. And actually, we remember his race more than we remember the race of the gold, the silver, and the medal. We may not even remember who won the gold, who won the silver, who won the bronze, but we will remember that guy forever. I see somebody put it up on the chat there. The Olympics in 92. Go to the chat if you want to get the reference for that and look at that. And that's the image, brothers and sisters. We are in a race. The Christian life is a race. And despite how many times you fall, despite how many mistakes you make, David made mistakes. Peter made mistakes, chopped off the man's ear, denied Christ. David didn't go to battle, sat out of the race, sat home, saw the beautiful woman on the rooftop, went and sinned. these Bible characters all had flaws and failings, but the one thing they didn't do, they didn't give up. They were determined to continue and to the end. And that's exactly what we need to do, despite our pre-Christ failings, our post-Christ failings, our current failings, our inadequacies, our faults and our failures. Hey, I almost want to stop now and pray for those who are beating themselves up because of some failure or some fault or some mistake that they've made. Or if you're anything like me, something you said and you wish you could take it back, but you can't take it back because you're just too quick on your feet and you said what you shouldn't have said. But Jesus is not beating you up about that today. He knows your faults. He knows your failings. He knows your sin. He knows what you did wrong in the past. And some of us are just holding on to the past mistakes and the past sins, and we're holding on to them and we're holding on to them. Those become our trophies. But Jesus is saying today, look, I forgive you. I've cleansed you. Be forgiven. Be released. Receive his cleansing touch. Receive his healing right now. Your sins are forgiven. Go your way and sin no more, Jesus said. So Paul says, despite my failings and despite my successes, which could both get in the way of my race, he says, hey, my dear brothers, my dear sisters, listen to me carefully. This is what I do. I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Another translation says, this one thing I do. This one thing I do. You know, that phrase comes up in the Bible quite often. You know, Jesus said of Martha that one thing is necessary. One thing, Mary. Martha has chosen, Mary, Martha, get them mixed up sometimes, but she's chosen the better path, and this will not be taken away from her. He said to the rich young ruler, one thing do you lack? One thing that do you lack? Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor. You lack in terms of generosity. One thing. Paul says, this one thing I do, I focus on this one thing. I forget the past and I look forward to what lies ahead, and I press like the athletes press to the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling. He didn't say just me, but us. And this is it. The first prize is oh, to know him. Intimately and personally. That's the first prize, to capture, to get a hold of Christ as Christ is getting a hold of you. That's the first prize. The second prize then is to press on to the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Do you know that God is calling each and every one of us to a heavenly prize? So how do we receive that heavenly prize? We receive that heavenly prize by focusing on one thing and by doing what Paul says. He says, I press onwards, I press forwards, I press towards the finishing line. I strain myself in agony to reach the goal. And so if you're going to make it as a Christian, there's got to be constant forward motion. It's going to be painful. You might get cramped. I get cramped at night sometimes. I asked the physiotherapist the other day, why do I get these cramps? I think he said, you need more sodium. You need to change your diet. You need to add something into your diet to stop the cramps. You might get cramps and you might get all sorts of difficulties, but you can go to Dr. Jesus. You can take a pit stop. You know, if we're talking motor racing, today's service would be the pit stop where you pull over the car. Lewis pulls over the car and do some work on the car, and then off he goes again. This is like, you know, the tent where the marathon runner stops. He's still jogging, but he's taking a drink or he's taking a nutritious bar. And the service this morning is like that service station for the runner where you can get topped up, where you can get revitalized so that you can go on and run the race further. So you're very wise to stop in at the pit stop this morning. Paul says, my only goal in life is to win the prize of life. My only goal in life is to win the prize of life, which is the heavenly prize given to us by God. It's a gift. It's given to us by God. All we have to do is receive it. Stretch our hands out and say, Lord, I want to receive that gift of eternal life. I want to lay hold of that heavenly prize. God is willing. He's calling us through Christ Jesus to win the race. To win the race of life and to receive the prize of life, which is eternal life. To win the race of life, to receive the prize of life, which is eternal life. In other words, God is rooting for us. Paul says that there is an inexhaustible stadium of witnesses that are sitting in the stadium that are applauding as they watch us run the race, because they know that we are running the race well, and they know that he who started a good thing in us is more than able to finish it and to bring it to its conclusion. God is helping us to run this race. So how exactly do we do it? Paul says, I run the race. How do we obtain this goal, this eternal life? Paul says, first thing I do is I run the race. I stay the course. It doesn't matter how slow. It doesn't matter how I'm limping. It doesn't matter how injured I am. It doesn't matter how much cramp. It doesn't matter how many mistakes I make. It doesn't matter how many people are passing me. It doesn't matter how many people are behind me. It doesn't matter, you know, what position I'm in. I'm going to finish this race, because the race is not given to the swift and the battle is not given to the strong. But the championship, the gold medal, the eternal life, the prize is given to he who endures to the end. So he says, I'm going to finish the course. I'm going to finish the course. The gift of life is laid down for me. I'm going to finish the course. Many of us will finish the course when we die. And many saints have finished their course because they are now passed from this life into eternal life. So we finish the course at our death, unless the rapture comes. But then when we die, we receive the gift of life. Come, my beautiful and humble servant, paraphrased Dennis Wade version. Come, my beautiful and humble servant, come and receive your prize. Come and receive eternal life that's been laid up for you. Paul's single goal in life is to win this prize of eternal life. Win this prize of eternal life. To obtain the resurrection of the dead. So he goes on in closing, he says, let us who are spiritually mature agree on these things. Let us, it's a team sport. Let us, it's a team sport. If you agree on, or if you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain to you. God will deal with all those who don't understand, and God will even deal with those who don't agree. So you don't need to worry about them. But if we're spiritually mature, let us come together. Let us agree on this, that this is how, this is our strategy, this is our technique, this is our game plan for running the race. And then he closes and he says, but we must hold on to the progress we've already made. We've made some good ground. We must press on. The prize is in view. Let us agree on this, that we will hold on to the progress that we've already made. We won't be slipping back. We won't be backsliding. We won't be walking in reverse. We'll be turning our faces towards the finishing line, and we will be going in that direction. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you are a God that is rooting for us, that you are in the chariot with us, that you are in the race with us, that you're running beside us, that you're walking beside us, that you're in the boxing ring cheering us on, that you're in our corner, giving us instructions as we wrestle with principalities and powers. And we thank you, Lord, that you are the God that heals us from our sins, from our sicknesses, from our diseases. Lord, our faults and our failings of the past, Lord, you remit them, you forgive us, and you strengthen us for the battle ahead. Lord, I pray that every person under the sound of my voice would receive now your grace, your love. They would know that you are cheering them on, that you are strengthening them, and that they are more than able to do it. So Lord, as we put behind us now that negative thoughts, the negative mindset, the thoughts of defeat, let us look forward now to the prize and towards victory. We thank you for all that you're doing and all that you will do. We salute you in Jesus' name. Amen.